Do not let the world shape you or mold you. Don't do that. Rather be transformed. How? How is my life transformed? By the renewal of your mind. When you renew your mind, then all of a sudden you are able to test and to discern what is the will of God.
Hey friends, welcome to Live in the Light. Today is a great day to join us as we go through the book of Deuteronomy together. I am in the studio here with Pastor Robbie. Hey Robbie, how are you doing?
Shannon, great to see you, and we're excited to be in this series in Deuteronomy. Just before we get there, hey Shannon, I just want to make a special kind of announcement or recognition. So we've had a very special person who's been the backbone of Live in the Light for many, many years now, our executive director. And her name is Kathy Sherman. And so she's actually retiring. She's moving into almost full-time grandmother, and she'll be serving the Lord in different capacities. But Shannon, wouldn't you agree how blessed we have been as a team? Kathy's never seen. She's behind the scenes allowing this ministry to flourish and allowing us to be here and do what we do. So we want to just take a moment. She will not like this right now because she's not looking for attention. But again, the Bible says, give honor to those whom honor is due. And I know you agree wholeheartedly. We're so thankful for Kathy and for her years of service here at Live in the Light. And we want to just say, Lord, thank you for her life and that she be so blessed as we go forward here. Right, Shannon?
I agree. Kathy is a gem of God's love and faithfulness and kindness and enthusiasm, and encourages us as we encourage you. So we are so thankful for her.
Amen. Amen. So again, Kathy, sorry about that, but a little bit of tension on you and that you give glory to the Lord. And so again, Live in the Light could not be possible without people like Kathy Sherman. So thankful for our team. And then now, we, speaking of blessing, that is really the theme of today. It is the bottom line for God's blessing. Moses sitting out with the people saying, hey, people, listen. I love this so much. I try to live my life by this actually too. Who are the people, and what are the things that God guarantees to bless? Mm. It really is that simple. So Moses is bottom lining it. Here's the foundation. If you do these things, God promises that he will bless you. So wisdom says, I should do that. So that's really what this message is about, Deuteronomy 6. Excited for that. Let's open up God's word right now. Let's get into it, right? We're Deuteronomy 6, verses 4 to 6, and the message title is The Bottom Line for God's Blessing. Be blessed today. Please open your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Thank you for agreeing in prayer there. Deuteronomy chapter 6. I'm excited to be in our series in Deuteronomy together called, of course, Listen and Love. And just as we get into Deuteronomy 6, I want to remind you of where we are, new people with us again each week, but also just to remind us, these are the last words of Moses. That's what Deuteronomy is. He is filled with urgency. Moses loves God's people. He is preparing them to enter the promised land. Moses has witnessed the previous generation mess everything up, and he is wanting so much for this new generation to learn from the past and to not make the same mistakes. I love Moses as a leader. He sincerely wants the people to know the full blessing of God. And this speaks so much to the heart of Moses. Remember, he will not enter the promised land. God is very clear and with Moses. He will not go, but he longs for the people to know God's favor when they enter the promised land. So this really becomes quite a moment. Deuteronomy is quite a moment here as Moses is eagerly desiring and really urgently trying to prepare the people to know God's favor as they take the promised land. As we come to chapter 6, this is our theme text for this series, and here's what Moses does specifically. Moses gives the bottom line for God's blessing. That's our sermon title today. He gives the bottom line for God's blessing. I greatly value bottom lines. What does that mean? I get to the point. What is the most essential part of what you're communicating? Let me hear the bottom line. Provide for me what is most critical, what is most vital, what is most important. You know, when people are talking, tell me, you say, hey man, get to the bottom line, would you? Just give me it. What do I need to know? And that's what Moses gives us today in terms of the bottom line of God's blessing. So Moses here in Deuteronomy 6, he gives the bottom online for God's blessing, and that gets my attention, okay? This is what Moses is about to do. Here is the most basic foundation to know the blessing of God in your life. And I'm like, okay, I'm listening. I pray he's got your attention right now. I pray you are here right now and you desire to know, again, the foundation and the bottom line for the blessing of God in your life. When you know the blessing of God, you will know the favor of God and the joy of God and the peace of God. It is not the easy way, but it is the blessed way. And that's what we see here in Deuteronomy 6, specifically verses 4 and 6. We will build around it a little bit, but we will, for the most part, stay in these three verses today in this very, very familiar, likely, but very, very important, again, passage. So Deuteronomy 6, verse 4 says this, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart." So these three verses right here, Moses boils it all down. And here is the bottom line for God's blessing. Very important today, lots of urgency today, excitement today again for what we're about to learn. God, teach us, help us, Holy Spirit, make this fresh for our lives right now. So what is the bottom line for God's blessing? Well, number one, it's this. Listen to the Lord alone, for he is God alone. Listen to the Lord alone, for he is God alone. Now, as many of us understand, as we come to Deuteronomy 6, and particularly verses 4 really through 9, we have just come to what is called the Shema. The Shema is the Hebrew word for to hear or to listen. In verses 4 to 9, the Shema becomes one of the most influential traditions in Jewish history. Jewish people have prayed this prayer in morning and evening, again, since it was given, and they continue to pray it twice a day today. The Shema prayer carries such prominence that Jesus used it in answering what is the greatest commandment we have ever received. He quotes Deuteronomy 6, verses 4 and 5. So let's look at verse 4 again. It says this, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." Now, when we hear the word hear, here in this verse, it is much more than in one ear and out the other. That's why another good translation could be listen. Listen, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one, right? Think of God and Moses saying this, listen, listen, hear, you must hear, you must listen. Think of when a parent says to a child, child, listen to me. When a parent says that to a child, listen to me, I'm about to tell you something. You need to listen. It must sink in. I need you to understand. But when a parent says that to a child, listen to what I'm about to say. Hear what I'm about to say. It's more than that. The parent is saying, listen, because I want a response. Listen, to understand what I'm going to say. And the way I know that you've understood, son or daughter, is that action will be the result, again, of you actually listening. A parent says, listen, they want their child to prove they've listened by responding with action to the words or the command that they have given. And that's a great spot for parents to say amen, right? So this is what Moses is communicating to God's people. One commentator, Merritt, he says this, to hear, listen, he says, to hear God without putting into effect the command is to not hear him at all. Okay, so to hear God, nod your head, but then nothing changes in your life is proving we didn't hear the Lord at all. This happens again to us. We sit in a service like this. We hear the word. We hear a sermon, but nothing changes, right? We're sitting in church right now, whatever, we hear, yeah. We leave, and then nothing changes from our lives. We're like, yeah, but nothing's actually been yeah. It's all just been kind of nodding your head. That happens so much too. Nod your head, but then the life isn't changed. The New Covenant, New Testament says this precisely in James chapter 1, where James says, we must not be hearers only, but actually doers. And James goes on there at the end of that chapter. He says, for those who hear and do will know, he literally says, will know the blessing of God. So listen, important. One of the major reasons we do not know the blessing of God in our lives, and this is widespread, is because we hear but don't do. We say, yeah. But then we don't change and nothing is transformed in our lives. So we have heard but not done. So therefore we forfeit the blessing of God. I want to pause there for a second. I think that's very, very important. I mean, that explains a lot of people within Christendom. They hear, but nothing actually changes. So therefore they don't know the blessing of God, because to do the will of God is to know the blessing of God. If we don't follow God's will, we cannot possibly know his blessing. And so that's why the first part of the first point here is listen to the Lord alone. And now Moses explains why we should listen to the Lord alone. Look at verse 4 again. Why? Because the Lord our God, the Lord is one. The Lord our God, the Lord is one. Now, this phrase can be interpreted one of two ways. The Lord our God, the Lord is one. What does that mean? The first way it can be interpreted is it refers to the unity or the wholeness of God, meaning the Lord is constant and unchanging and complete. And to that we would say, amen. But in the second part of this, and the majority of scholars agree, this is how this is properly interpreted. It means that the Lord is the one and only God. The Lord is the one and only God, that our God is God alone. He's the one and only true God. It's a statement of exclusivity here that is being made again by the Holy Spirit through Moses to the people of God. And that second meaning fits our context in Deuteronomy so well, right? Because after all, think about it. The very first commandment that is given, you shall have no other gods before me. We also remember contextually, you want to interpret scripture, the context is king when we're interpreting a Bible verse or a passage. Know its context. Israel was living within a polytheistic culture. They were immersed and surrounded by false gods all the time, tempting them to wander away from the one true God. So this was Israel's greatest temptation. What? To replace the one true God with an idol of wood or stone or metal. This is what drew them away time and time again. So what are we learning here? We're learning this. The greatest threat to the heart of God's people is a divided heart. The greatest threat to the heart of you and me and God's people is a heart that is divided. And that is why the Shema, again, as a prayer, is essential. Because every day as you recite this truth, you are renewing your minds to the truth that there is only one true God, Yahweh. The God that we belong to, He is the Lord God alone. And that's so relevant then, again, what, 3,500 years ago, again, and relevant today as well. Just this past week, I'm engaged in these life conversations with people, you know, and you're learning what they believe. It's amazing to me. There's so many polytheistic viewpoints talking to people again just this past week. And really people are inventing their own religion and based on their lust and desires. And they're, I believe a bit of this, I believe a little bit of that, a little bit of this. And just kind of grabbing things as like a spiritual buffet or some kind of religious buffet and putting it all together and say, this sounds good to me. And I'm listening. I'm like, that's crazy town. Like, how can that play? It can't all be true. It's just nothing's true. But that's what our world does, right? We're constantly inventing our own religions because we want to just take the parts we like and the parts we don't like, and then somehow we think that's going to work out in the end. That's exactly what's happening in Israel's day. That's what's happening in our day today as well. So church, listen, church, brothers and sisters, that we must constantly be reminding ourselves, like every day, there's only one true God, and we must listen to him that we might renew our minds again in what is actually true to lead us down the will of God, that we might know the blessing of God. If we wander away from this, we wander away again from God's favor within our lives. We don't want to do that. I felt it this week. Did you feel it this week? Like feel what? I felt the pull of idols demanding my affection and worship. Like I seriously did. The strong pull of idols demanding my affection and trying to gain my worship. I heard the whispers of temptation in the last 7 days to believe life is all about the desires of the flesh or the desires of the eyes or the pride of life. I just need to confess to you, man. I don't know what you think, but I confess my heart is so prone to wander. My flesh is so weak. I need to renew my mind every single day that I live to be reminded of what is actually true and the reality of the bombardment of the messages of this world and the pulls again within me and the sinful flesh that wants to move away from the things of the Lord and to wander into distraction or destruction or whatever it is. I need to renew my mind every single day. As simple as this, there is one true God, Robbie, listen to him. Everything else is false. You follow anything else and you will be led down a path again of self-destruction and of such, you know, turmoil and devastation. So I need to renew my mind every single day. And I'm constantly trying to evaluate, again, what I'm hearing, seeing, and living through the lens, again, through the lens of this truth. There is one true God. Every motivation, every ambition, every distraction, every temptation, it has to go through the lens, again, of what we're seeing right now. Robbie, listen to the one true God, for he is God alone. You listen to him, you will be blessed. You wander away from him, man, you're in serious trouble. And of course, the New Testament speaks of this as well. Paul says in Romans 12, verse 2, do not be conformed to this world. Do not let the world shape you or mold you. Don't do that. Rather be transformed. How? How is my life transformed? By the renewal of your mind. When you renew your mind, then all of a sudden you are able to test and to discern what is the will of God. When you discern the will of God, then you know what's pleasing to God. When you live a life that's pleasing to God, you know the blessing of God. Let's break it down this way right here. I love sequences in scripture. Always trying to teach sequences as we see them in scripture. There's one here for sure. Look at, how does transformation come? The base start of transformation is renewal of the mind. We have to cleanse our minds from the filth of the world. When we do that and we have God's truth, again, filtered through our mind, because how we think ultimately determines the fruit of our lives. Whatever we fill our minds with will determine the fruit of our lives. So renewing our mind leads to discerning of God's will. When I can discern God's will from the truth of God, then I will know God's blessing. Here's what a lot of people do. A lot of people are like, I want God's blessing. I want God's blessing. Well, so do I. But you can't know God's blessing. You know God's will. If you want to know God's will, you got to know God's word. You got to renew your mind. This is what I've always taught here as well. When I wake up in the morning, man, I got to take my spiritual shower. If I don't take my spiritual shower, I'm in trouble because I have been flooded and bombarded with the thoughts of the culture and the world and evil on a daily basis. And I got to wake up, man, and cleanse the filth from my mind so I can think clearly and see with purity what God's will is, what his truth is. And therefore I know the path to follow. And then I know I'm on the track to God's blessing, to know what pleases God. Telling you, you got to take your spiritual shower. Hey, don't be surprised. If you're not taking your spiritual shower, and you're letting the word of God renew your mind, of course you're going to miss out on God's blessing because you're not hearing God's voice. You're not hearing God's voice. You don't know God's path or will. Don't know God's path or will. Then how can you possibly end up in discerning again what is good, acceptable, and perfect to the Lord? In some ways, not easy. But man, it is straightforward and it is true. Moses is like, he's like, people. You have to listen to the Lord. The temptation's every day coming around you. You got to listen to the Lord. Watch out, man. The culture's coming in. But you follow God, he's like, I like your chances. I like them a lot. Bottom line for God's blessing, so simple yet so profound. Listen to the Lord alone, for he is God alone. Secondly, the bottom line for God's blessing, love the Lord wholeheartedly, not superficially. Love the Lord wholeheartedly, not superficially. Look at verse 5 now. Verse 5 says this, one of the most famous verses in all scripture. It's certainly the greatest commandment. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. Okay, now, this makes sense in response to the one true God. We are saved in Jesus Christ, the one true God who has chosen us and rescued us and adopted us and redeemed us and saved us, right? The response to the God who has done that for us, the one response we would have for someone who saved us from hell itself is love. Love the one who has ransomed us and set us free. So we're learning here, look, careful. The ultimate motivation for obedience is love. love motivates us for obedience. We consider all that God has done. You know what's so interesting? So I don't have, like, my Bible's open to Deuteronomy 5 and 6. I don't have to turn a page. Some of you might have to turn one page. But I want you to look at Deuteronomy 5, verse 6 right now. Deuteronomy 5, verse 6. So this is the beginning of the Ten Commandments. And notice what starts before God gives the Ten Commandments. Look at Deuteronomy 5, verse 6. He says, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. Now notice the first Exodus 20, same thing. Notice what God says to start. God here is giving the indicative, the declaration of what he's done. I have set you free. I have set you free from slavery. I have purchased you out of your bondage. I mean, this is obviously what the gospel is for us in Jesus Christ. You were enslaved in sin. You were in bondage in chains, but Jesus Christ died for your sins. He rose from the dead. You have been set free. You cannot die. You have been saved by Jesus Christ. This is the beginning before the commands come. So the indicative, what's happened in the past, the declaration, now watch, now here comes the imperative. Look at Deuteronomy 5 verse 7 now. Look at, now we have the Ten Commandments. You shall have no other gods before me, and the rest follow. You see what's happening right here, church? Very, very, very important, right? We teach this a lot. We need to teach this a lot. Before the imperative is the indicative. Before the obligation. See, a lot of people who don't know the Bible, they just hear rules and I gotta try harder. No. Stop for a second. Why are you commanded to follow Christ in this way? Well, the New Testament says it all the time. Colossians 3. If you have been raised with Christ, meaning if you've been set free from slavery in Egypt, so to speak, if you've been set free from sin, if then you've been raised with Christ, that's the condition, if this is your reality, now set your mind on things above. Follow the Lord Jesus Christ with your entire life. He has given you this. Now in love, respond with obedience to him. See, that changes everything. And many don't understand this. The motivation for obedience to God is not that he'll like us more. The motivation for obedience is the love that has soaked our lives. And now the love we want to give back in return. There's Moses like, people, you got to get this, man. God has rescued you from slavery. He has redeemed you. He has bought you. He's purchased you from this. Now love him in return. Love, look at all he's given to you. Love him with, notice, heart, all soul, all might, it says in verse 5. A heart here, the seat of the will. Determines, the heart determines our affections and our will. A soul here, our very life or vitality. It's our very being. Might here is a person's full capacity. Love the Lord with all your capacity, all your abilities, all your resources. It's no surprise then in 2 Kings, we have a description of King Josiah. Now these things are gonna pop now. They're gonna pop in new ways. It says about Josiah, before him, there was no king like him who turned to the Lord with all his heart, with all his soul, and with all his might. Sound familiar? According to all the law of Moses, nor did any like him arise after him. Apparently, Josiah knew the blessing of God, and the single greatest reason for this was his love for the Lord with all his heart, with all his soul, and with all his might. To know the blessing of God, we will love him wholeheartedly. I want you to notice, if we're back to chapter 6, verse 5, I want you to notice all the personal pronouns in verse 5. You, your. This love is not emotional, it's relational. Our God is intensely personal and relational. Even you shall love the Lord your God. You shall love the Lord. Amazing. Your God. You belong to him. And listen, astoundingly, he belongs to you. That's truth. We say this truth. We sing this truth. One of the great hymns, Jesus, what a friend for sinners. Jesus, I do now receive him more than all in him I find. He has granted me forgiveness. I am his and he is mine. Look at this line right here. I am his. We're like, yeah. But then this line's always just blessed me so much. And I belong to him and he belongs to me. Wow. Our God is intensely personal. We got to think about this more. We got to discipline ourselves. Like he loves us and is with us. He sent his Spirit to live in us if we are saved in the Lord Jesus Christ. How powerful and awesome that is. So again, listen, love is the foundation for obedience. I came across a cute little story this week that relates significantly to this. I read this week about a 78-year-old woman. Her name was Aleda Houston of Rotterdam, who had been smoking for 50 years. For most of that time, she had been trying to give up the habit, and at last, she finally succeeded after 50 years of smoking. What was her secret? Well, her secret was a 79-year-old man named Leo Jansen proposed marriage but refused to go through with the wedding until Aleda gave up smoking. And Aleda said, "Willpower was never enough to get me off the habit. Love made me do it." Awesome. Okay, the power of love, right? So again, let's put this spiritually. This is why Matt Papa, I think others have said it too, Matt Papa said this. This is for some here right now, massively important. He says this, we worship our way into sin and we will worship our way out of sin. See what he's saying there? Incredibly astute, so important spiritually, biblically. Why do we go into sin? Well, at some point, sin, we love sin more than Christ. We are worshiping, we give our mind, affections, and our will towards this sinful habit, so we worship our way into this sin that we think somehow is going to satisfy, but it starts to destroy us. The most powerful way to get out of habitual sin, we must change our worship. You can develop techniques and strategies to be helpful, and there's counseling techniques, again, yes, but the ultimate freedom from the bondage of sin is your worship changes from sin to Christ. So when your affections, you truly love God through repentance and faith, repenting of false worship and worship of evil, and you truly set your eyes upon Jesus Christ and worship him, that's what pulls you away from sin into light. That is the power that God gives in genuine worship to overcome such evil and bondage again within our lives. We live our lives for that which we ultimately love. This is why Augustine said this. He says, love God and do what you please. You're like, what? That sounds kind of weird. Love God. Now listen, he's not a license for self-indulgence. What he's saying is same in line with Psalm 34. Delight yourselves in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart, right? How do we interpret that? When we love God truly, then we will follow what God wants. Love God, do what you please. If I'm truly filled with love for God, then I will follow his will. That's what he's saying. When I delight myself in the Lord, I get the desires of my heart because what God desires, I desire. And if I desire what God desires, well, then I will see that fulfilled within my life. If I don't love God, I desire sin. That's a whole different story.
Hey, Live in the Light listeners, so appreciate you. Robbie Simons here. Hey, listen, Giving Tuesday is coming up on December 2nd. And of course, Giving Tuesday is a day where we are desirous to be generous towards, again, ministries that God has particularly used within our lives, seeking to make an eternal impact. Hey, if that's where you are right now and the Lord is leading you to be generous again to this ministry here at Live in the Light, if you've been encouraged in your walk with God, would you consider supporting us? We would love that, obviously. Again, we can only be on this station through your generous support. We have an option becoming a power partner, $30 a month, joining with us to see again the message of the gospel and the light of Jesus Christ through the power of his word go out and transform lives. You know it, I know it. Our day needs this so, so much. So if you want to do this, if you're being led even right now and you've been thinking about it and the Holy Spirit speaking to you, all the information is at liveinthelight.ca. That's liveinthelight.ca. Thank you for your support and for your future support. We are so very grateful for you.
That's all for today. Hope you can join us again next time on Live in the Light. I wanna be in the light as you are in the light.